You know, I just realized when she was talking about Haiti and us taking a team, like I came up here and last service taught a whole teaching and did not say the word Haiti once. I know what's up with that. That's very unusual for me, I just want to say. We are talking about Apollos tonight. Apollos is a character that just kind of captivates me in the scriptures, even though he's like four verses. He's in a couple other places in the scriptures, but tonight we're just looking at four verses. He reminds me a lot of these kids that were up here, that just this young, eager, like bundle of energy, like a puppy, you know, that's just all wiggles and licking and maybe not a lot of good manners or whatever, but Apollos was like that in his love for Jesus. He just had this passion for Jesus, and that's why he captivates me so much. We're going to learn some great stuff about him tonight, but I want to start by talking about another man that is really a hero of the faith for me. His name is Booker T. Washington. So one day, Booker T. Washington was walking through his city, Tuskegee, Alabama. And he was in a wealthy neighborhood, and a wealthy white woman mistook him for a yard worker that her husband had hired. And she stopped him and she said, "I need you to chop some wood." Well, he had nothing pressing to do. So he took off his coat, he rolled up his sleeves, and with a smile, he did exactly what that woman had asked him to do. He chopped the wood, he picked it up, he carried it into her kitchen, and one of the servants recognized him and went running out to tell her master who it was that she had asked to chop wood. Now, Washington was born a slave, and through the years had overcome innumerable obstacles. And at this point, he was a leading educator. He was the head of the Tuskegee Institute. He was a renowned author, and he was an advisor to governments, not just our government, but governments. So as you can imagine, the next morning, a very flustered and embarrassed woman showed up in his office and apologized over and over and over again. I had no idea who it was I was asking to chop wood. I thought you were one of the workers my husband had hired. Now, here's what I love about this man. He responded with so much grace and so much warmth in this awkward situation. He said, "You know what? It's really okay. I like to work. And I'm always delighted to do something for my friends." The woman was so moved by this graciousness, that she became a lifelong supporter and advocate and friend. And the quiet humility of this man, it moves me deeply. And it reminds me of some of the humility that we're going to see in Apollos when we can continue our study in Acts tonight. Their circumstances were different. They were separated by centuries. But Apollos, too, he found himself in a similar situation where he could have chosen to be offended. But instead, he chose to respond with grace and with humility. So let's pick up the story in chapter 18. Last week, if you were here, you heard Pastor Carlos teach. We learned that Paul had been traveling throughout Greece. He'd been sharing the message of Christ. He'd been starting churches. And he ended up in Corinth, which was a beautiful respite for him. He'd had some really tough seasons. So it was there that he spent some time. He met Priscilla and Aquila. They were a married couple, and they were tent makers like he was. And so together they began to preach the word of God. And then in verses 18 through 23, we're going to kind of skip that chunk because it's just kind of autobiographical details. We learn that he and this couple went to Ephesus, and they started a tiny church there, and then Paul knew he had to move on, and so he left Priscilla and Aquila in charge. Now, let's pick it up in verse 24 because that's where we meet Apollos, and that's where we're going to spend our time tonight. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Well, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, well, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Ikea. I want to go there. No, I don't know how you say that. The brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So as I read and prayed and studied and talked to God this week, he began to speak to me some things that maybe aren't the normal things that someone might pull out of a passage like this and begin to teach. But I loved it, and I want to share with you what it is that God spoke to me this week. And so here's the first thing that I think God wants all of us to hear, and that is that imperfect people are welcome here. Amen? Apollos, he shows up in Ephesus all full of fervor, like that little wiggly puppy full of enthusiasm. He knew his Bible, but in spite of that, he was lacking a few things. So how many of you know that you can know your Bible really well and still be missing out on a relationship with God, right? So maybe Apollos was like that. We don't know. But we know he was lacking some things, and he was an imperfect tool in God's hands. And so to those of us who think maybe that we have to have our act all together before God can use us, this is pretty welcome news, right? How many of you feel imperfect? Yeah. So see, we're in good company. I saw a church sign once that said that, imperfect people welcome here, you'll be in good company. And it is, it's welcome news to know that God loves and uses imperfect people. So a little background information on Apollos. It says in the passage that he was from Alexandria. It was the second largest city in the Roman Empire. It was the capital of Egypt, but it was heavily influenced by Greek culture. In it was a very large and thriving Jewish community, the largest Jewish community outside of Israel. They were wealthy, this community. They were well-educated. They were of high social standing. And so we can surmise that Apollos was a very well-educated and cultured man. It's also likely that he made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem because that was a custom of Jews at the time. And it was probably there that he ran into the teachings of John the Baptist and the teachings of Jesus. Did he actually meet them? We don't know. We don't know if he met them face to face or not. We don't have that information. But we do know that he followed John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance and of preparation for the coming of the Messiah, and that he had much accurate information about Jesus, the promised Messiah. His understanding was incomplete, and we don't exactly know what it was that he was missing out on, but it didn't stop him from accurately and actively teaching people about Jesus. And that's the reminder for us today. God welcomes and he uses those of us who are lacking. He welcomed and used Apollos, and he wants to welcome and use each one of you. So even if you have imperfect understanding, imperfect knowledge, if your background you don't think is adequate, or your skill set is lacking, you might be passionate, or you might be one of the timid ones. You might be educated. You might not be educated. You might be full of confidence. You might not. Whatever it is, God is willing to use you. Do you have doubts? Do you have weaknesses? It's okay. Do you not have it all figured out? It's okay. God's big enough. He's loving enough. He's patient enough to be okay with that, and to be okay with the path that you're on toward him. So imperfect people, you, me, are welcome here. You belong, and you have a place, and you have a purpose, you have something to bring to the table, and that's really good news for ordinary people like you and me. So here's the second thing that God says. works in progress are also welcome here. Okay, Apollos, he was definitely a work in progress, but it didn't disqualify him. And if you are a work in progress, it doesn't disqualify you. God loves you exactly the way you are, unconditionally, completely. But here's the thing. Jesus calls us to come as we are, but does he call us to stay as we are? No, he doesn't. He loves us too much, really, to let us stay in the messes that we come to him as. So Apollos knew that too. He knew he was loved, but he knew that he needed to move forward. And so we see in verse 26 that he recognized that he was a work in progress, and he let himself be taught. And he had these characteristics about him that I find really appealing, and I think God finds really appealing too. And here's those three things that I want us to look at in his character tonight. He was teachable, he was humble, and he was hungry. Okay? So let's look at those three things. First of all, he was teachable. You see, his social standing, his cultural background, and probably his education too, were well above that of Priscilla and Aquila. And in his Jewish traditions and in the Greek culture, they didn't educate women. And they certainly didn't allow women to teach. And yet, Apollos was teachable. He willingly learned from them. He recognized their loving maturity, their faith, the depth of their faith. He felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. One of our pastors in Haiti, see, there we go, can't do it. One of our pastors in Haiti actually left a church because they let a woman, this was years ago, let a woman speak in the church. And he was so offended that he left. And then he went to Bible school and started learning about what the scriptures really teach. He met me and he said, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. How could I shut that down? Good stuff, really good stuff. And that's the kind of teachable heart that he had. It's the kind of teachable heart that Apollos had. He didn't get offended. Booker T. Washington didn't get offended. When he got asked chop wood, he wasn't like, excuse me, do you know who you're talking to? No, he didn't, and neither did Apollos. And they took him home, and they probably fed him a good meal, and they gently pointed out his errors. Because Apollos had this attitude. He probably knew this scripture from Proverbs. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. What a great attitude, right? Yeah. I want to be like that. And here's another really good word for us today in the caustic, bitter, loud, intolerant society that we live in. Here's this quote. In the day in which we live, we need to listen, then learn, then lead. Yeah. We need to, like, I'll put that on our Facebook status. So, Apollos was this amazing, teachable man, and we need to be that way too. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second, he was humble. He was humble. And that takes me back to that story of Booker T. Washington. The two men were really alike in this. He didn't assume that his knowledge was superior. He was willing to sit at the feet of Priscilla and Aquila. William Booth said something that I think is really profound. He started the Salvation Army. This is what he said. The measure of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Wow. In our world, we get that all backwards, right? We think the measure of a man's power is how high we can climb and how many people we step on to get there. Jesus turns it all upside down. This is what he says in Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus. Jesus. But we live in a world where 93 million selfies are taken every day. Humility is kind of a lost Christian virtue, a lost art in our day. And it should not be. It should not be. Because think about this. Think about this. The resurrection of Jesus that we celebrated just this last week could only have happened by an act of unsurpassed humility. Jesus humbled himself to death on a cross. Peter Winner, in an article that I read this week, says this: we need to recapture this virtue. We need to know how deeply we are loved by God, accepted by God, yet still be aware of our shortcomings, of how wayward our hearts are, how even our good acts are often tainted by selfish motives, how we all struggle with brokenness in our lives. He says, this isn't an argument for self-loathing. We're not supposed to just feel horrible when we recognize that in ourselves. It's an argument for self-awareness and for humility. We understand that we've fallen short, that our loves are disordered, and our lives are sometimes really, really messy. And that's why we're in need of grace. And that's why we walk in humility. And that's why we learn to put the needs of others before ourselves, because humility means we really forget about ourselves and think of the other person, like Booker T. Washington did. Apollos was a humble man. Okay? He was a little squirmy puppy, all full of enthusiasm, but he was humble and he was teachable. Let's be that. And then let's be hungry. Let's be hungry. Apollos knew that everything in his life had come up empty until he found Jesus. I want to read you a quote by another man, well-educated, but also who knew that everything he had chased after had come up empty till he met Jesus. Centuries apart, but these men experienced the same things. This is what he wrote, C.S. Lewis. Until you have given up yourself to him, you will not have a real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and the death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Yeah. That's what Apollos was hungry for. That's what drove him. And that we read in verse 26 that Priscilla and Aquila explained the way of God to him more completely. He must have drank that in like a man in a desert that has finally found water. He finally understood the missing pieces. Whatever it was he didn't understand about Jesus, about his death on the cross, about how his life wasn't taken from him, but it was laid down in love. Whatever he didn't understand about the resurrection, that Jesus rose from the death, he's alive now, he conquered the power of evil and death. Whatever it was, Apollos was just drinking it in. Give me more, give me more, give me more. That's what OSL is all about. Right? And that's why we talk about it over and over and over. People get tired of hearing about it, but we're just like, that's what the Bible's about. A Bible is about having us be the kind of followers of Jesus that are hungry, that just cannot be satiated, that are always looking for more. Let's be like Apollos. Let's be hungry like that. You can still be a work in progress. We all are. But don't think that God can't use you. Teachable, be humble, be hungry, and know that you, as a work in progress, are welcome here. Here's a third thing that I believe God wants to say to us tonight, and that is that builders are wanted here. Okay? Priscilla and Aquila, I want to look at them for a minute. They were builders. They weren't intent on fixing Apollos. They didn't publicly point out his mistakes. They didn't shame him. They didn't make him feel inadequate. What they did was they loved him right where he was at, and they helped him to go further. They extended grace and love. They were builders. And that's what we're called to be. It's why I love East River. I love this church because this church is full of builders. Our pastor is a builder. He is a man of encouragement, never a man of condemnation. We're builders here. It's a safe place. Nobody throws rocks around here. None of us are perfect. Only Jesus is that. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. But here's the thing. When we do, we admit it. We ask forgiveness, and we ask Jesus to help us not do it again. Okay? So Priscilla and Aquila, they were focused on equipping Apollos, on bringing out the best in him. And I pray that that would be what we would be known for, you and me and this church. And not just when we're here, but in our families and in our schools, in our businesses, for the way we love, not for the criticism that we dispense. For being noticers of the good, people who are eager to speak words of love, couched in grace and truth, to be builders. Philippians 4:29 says it this way, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up." Yes. Who wants more of that? Yes, please. Yes, please. In this caustic society that we live in. So Lord, change me first. Change me first. So Apollos learned how to build because he learned from builders. He learned from Priscilla and Aquila. And it says that he went out and did what? Began to help. See, what he learned is what he went out and did. He didn't demand to be in the spotlight. He just wanted to be a builder, to give away what had been given to him, to point people to Jesus. And that's our call tonight too, okay? We want to be like Apollos, but we want to be like Priscilla and Aquila too. We want to be those who build up and then who turn around and give that away. That's the secret of life in Jesus. We don't just like, we're not just little piggies that are just feed me, feed me, feed me, and fat, 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 and sit, sit, sit. We go out and we give it away. We cannot keep it to ourselves. The best news ever. Okay, so at this point, we've heard a good story, and we have things to think about. Maybe we've been inspired. But when I think about this story, I go back a step further, and I want to know what it was that drove Apollos to this all-out commitment to Jesus. And I want to know what that means for us. And here's what I really think. Here's what I really think God wants us to pay attention to tonight. I'm going to quote from C.S. Lewis again. He's just so good, and he says things the most clear and concise way. And this is what he says. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if it's true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. And here's the thing about Apollos. To him, Jesus, following Jesus, being a Christian, could never just be moderately important. Never. You see, if Christianity is false, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if what we did last weekend was just a cute tradition, pleasant tradition, then the scriptures say we're the most of any people to be pitied, right? And we should all just go back to that old adage that says, let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we may die. If Christianity is not true. But if it is true, Jesus really did rise from the dead. If he is alive today, that changes everything, and Jesus becomes infinitely important. And this, I believe, is the astonishing, compelling, heart-pounding reality that Apollos found himself face-to-face with, that Apollos encountered. And it turned his world upside down. It both shattered his world, and it healed his world. You see, we don't really know the personality of Apollos, or the state of spirit and soul that Apollos was in before he came to Jesus. But we do know that he encountered Jesus. How did he get there? I don't know. Maybe he was a do-good rule follower. Some of us are. Maybe he was a skeptic. Maybe he was a dreamer. Maybe he was deeply wounded. We don't know. Maybe he was restless, a wanderer. Maybe he was just a comfortable secularist. There's a whole lot of those now, and there were a whole lot of them then. But what we do know is that God intersected his life, made him aware of this ache for something more, this hunger and thirst for grace and for love that had already been built into him when he was born, and that he would never be satisfied until it was filled by Jesus. And he found Jesus, and he found everything he was looking for. He was mesmerized, can I say, by Jesus. Fully God, yet fully man, someone who could look right through him, who could speak of such love and such peace, such purpose that was to be found by giving your life away, by dying so that you could live, by knowing that Messiah had come and that you were set free. Okay? That's the kind of God he encountered. Not this God that had set up all these standards and told you you had to earn, and behave to get up to where God was. No, a God that was coming down, pursuing him, loving him, reaching out to him. And those eyes, when I think about the eyes of Jesus, I think they must be full of so much love. And yet that piercing gaze that would expose every deep and hidden thing inside of us. But without shame, without condemnation, without reproach. Because it was a kind of love that could lay you bare and yet make you feel completely safe. This is the love Apollos found. This is the love that drove and compelled him. Jesus had captured him, had held him, would not let him go, met him in his dreams, met him in his waking hours, met him everywhere, around every corner, meeting the deepest needs of his heart. His soul was ablaze. Nothing could stop him because he knew that Jesus loved him. He knew it. It wasn't just head knowledge. It was experiential. Even though Apollos could rightly be proud of some of his accomplishments, he also knew the deepest failures of his heart and knew that he needed the cross. And the cross is the tough part, really. I mean, ours is lit and smooth, but the cross is tough. It's brutal. It's ugly. It's agonizing. And we don't want to admit that we need it. We don't want to give up our control. We don't want to die to admit that it was my hardness, my disordered loves, my astonishing selfishness that put him there. Because to admit that means that we have a need and that we have to surrender and that he has a claim on our lives. And yet, if we will just do it, we pass through into the most amazing joy and life that we could ever imagine. Apollos went through it, and so did I. Many years ago. Oh, if you would have known me. I was young. I was pretty accomplished. I was very self-driven. Emphasis on self. I was empty in the midst of all that, but I was clinging to control. And I finally had to ask at that young age, what am I hanging on to? Whatever it is, it's not working. It's not fulfilling me. It's not giving me love or hope or purpose or peace. But that which Jesus was offering me through the cross did. Through his death and then the death of my own will, my own desires, my own abilities, my own accomplishments laid at the cross, I came home. I came home to God. That was a lot of years ago. And probably if you knew me back then, right after I'd come to Christ, you would have seen a little of Apollos in me. Eager and full of enthusiasm and really a work in progress. But my life has been unimaginably richer and sweeter following that narrow path than it ever could have been on the wide road, the broad road that I had been traveling on that seemed so enticing. And so I want to close this way tonight. I want us to encounter Jesus. Encounter Jesus. before we go, because it's so often we come and we hear and we're touched and we're moved, but we got stuff to do and we got to move on to the next thing. So I just want to stop. We don't have enough time in our days. We're busy, busy people. I just want us to stop and encounter Jesus before we go. So would you please close your eyes? And in your mind, just try and quiet everything. See Jesus. See him walking toward you. Maybe he's in your favorite place, whatever place causes your spirit to come alive. And he's walking toward you. His head is thrown back. There's laughter in his eyes. His arms are open wide. And some of you, when you see that, when you see him, you want to look down. You want to look away, or you want to just say, oh, this is just my imagination here. And I invite you to press through that, to know that we have a God who makes himself known. He's real. He comes to us. He envelops us in grace. So don't avert your eyes. Don't pull back. Don't let the distracting thoughts come crowding in. Have the courage to look into his eyes, see the acceptance there, and then talk to him. He's there, he's right in front of you. Talk to him, tell him what you need to tell him, what you want to tell him, and then listen, because he's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. We're going to listen to a song and just continue to be in the presence of God.
Find me thankful. Find me on my knees. Find me dreaming. Find me singing. Find me on my knees.
Lord, how sweet it is to just rest in you, to just speak and know you hear us, to listen and hear your words of love to us, your words of encouragement. Father, I pray that as we go out of here tonight, we would have a desire to be like Apollos, to be like Priscilla and Aquila, to pursue you with passion, to be a builder, to be teachable, to be humble, to be hungry. And not just when we're here, Lord, but wherever we find ourselves. Because I know that what happened to Apollos affected every area of his life. What happened to me affected every area of my life. Nothing was ever the same. Jesus, let that be so for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.